John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
Well, I guess it's official. Fall is here because, I mean, you kind of look out, you see the rain, the chill, all those different things. And so I guess it finally has arrived, which, of course, is not a big surprise. But, of course, it's great because we've got football season going on. We got all these different things that are happening and all good things. Good football weekend ahead. So let's get started with the five biggest stories of the day in the top five brought to you by Eastside Funding.
Number one.
But a couple of things to keep in mind here, Jay. He did make restitution right away. He's got no criminal record, and I think that could be factored into his sentencing. The federal guidelines for sentencing are 30 to 37 months. Now, people have said he faces up to 25 years in prison. That's not going to happen, not with the way this situation has gone down. But 30 to 37 months in prison certainly is one of the options here. And I think it's caught the attention of everybody in the league. People thought he wouldn't be playing. Now the Seahawks have signed him. They've had a need at the linebacker position, but they are prepared to stand behind Michael Kendricks at this time.
Very interesting in the standpoint that, you know, that was sort of Adam Schefter talking about the new signing of Michael Kendricks. And I think this is kind of an interesting one because he's got a sentencing hearing coming up June 24th. He's pleaded guilty last week. We don't know what the league is going to do, but he's a good football player. He's a guy that that was one spot behind Bobby Wagner in the draft taken by the Philadelphia Eagles. And, I mean, this could be an ultimate steal because particularly figuring that, you know, he just wants to get on a football field and probably figuring that with the insider trading charge and the fact he pleaded guilty that nobody was making him an offer. Seattle came in, made him an offer. He's accepted it. And now I doubt he's going to be available for the Monday night game. But this was, I think, a needed piece because, I mean, here you get a starting caliber linebacker who is good. If you go back and look at you know, what he did in Philadelphia, he basically just outpriced himself because they, you can only keep so many players with the salary cap, and so they had to shed him, and then he goes over to Cleveland, and he does a pretty good job, and then, of course, he gets the charge, and you know, they had to make a move, and they let him go. But I think in a lot of ways, giving him this chance could be a steal in the standpoint that, you know, they, you could always take one more starting guy, particularly, you know, K.J. Wright being injured, and, you know, they've got worry about a groin injury right now with Bobby Wagner. Again, it's a lot to ask him to come in on a Friday, on a rainy Friday, and be able to, you know, think about playing on Monday. But hey, there's 14 games after this, and so I think they got a good football player in Michael Kendricks, and they probably got him at a very bargain price.
Number two.
Well, we already know that Doug Baldwin, DJ Fluker, and KJ Wright are looking pretty unlikely to play on Monday due to injuries, but there were a couple of new names added to the injury report yesterday. Bobby Wagner did not practice with a groin injury, and Trey Flowers also set out with a hamstring injury. Earl Thomas did not practice yesterday either, but it was listed as non-injury related.
Yeah, and I'm sure in the Earl Thomas case, rest day. Got a lot of those last year. Deion Jordan, Bradley McDougal, both with knees. They were limited. KJ Wright and Fluker look like they're probably not going to play. But Bobby, boy, if Bobby Wagner can't play, that's going to be devastating because, again, he is so important to the whole defense. And, you know, you take so many hits. And so we'll have to monitor that. Realize the final injury report's not going to be official until you get to Saturday. So at this stage, we don't know where they're going to list him. We don't know if he's going to practice today or not. Trey Flowers with a hamstring, that's got to be concerning. But at least he made it through 72 plays in his first game. Again, I know K.J. Wright, according to Pete Carroll, was running a little bit the last couple days, looking pretty good, but still a long shot for him to be able to play. And you figure a 343-pound guy with a hamstring injury, unlikely to be able to go. So that's the injury report. Chicago in pretty good shape as far as that. I know Kyle Long's banged up, but then he's always on the injury report with some kind of an injury, but he always plays, so you can't worry about that. So overall, injuries, of course, being a big factor. We already know that big news today, Joel Sitton, starting guard for the Miami Dolphins. He's going to be out for the season. So his year is done. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on the injury front.
Number three.
This is going to be a dogfight. This is a huge game for them. You look at the last 2 years, 2017, UW 33, Utah 30, UW 31 in 2016, Utah 24. This is going to be a dogfight. This is two programs that look exactly the same. They're very similar in terms of the way they're coached. This is a huge one that the Huskies have to step up to on ESPN on Saturday night.
So that's Jake Heaps talking about the game against Utah, which is going to be an interesting one and a good one, an important one for the Huskies to try to get that victory, because it's one where, hey, you know, they should be able to win, but, you know, they're kind of teetering on the edge. One more loss really puts them in a tough spot, particularly for that opening day loss. I still think they can recover from the opening day loss against Auburn, but they can't afford to lose any games in the conference, and they got to try to win the conference. And so that's going to be one of the battles so far. Utah has been very close in the last three times they faced them. It's been one score games, and so it's a good even battle, and one that's not going to be the easiest. They certainly need a good performance from Jake Browning. One thing I think is encouraging, with all that turnover at the wide receiver position in the last couple of years, looks like one has stepped up, and that's Ty Jones. And the great part about Ty Jones, he gets to go back to Provo, Utah, where he was born and raised, and that's a homecoming for him. And so that's the big college news right now. At this stage, even though it was a 45-3 victory over North Dakota, didn't get great reviews because of the slow first half. Chris Peterson so far, happy with the defense, need much more out of the offense, and overall, Miles Gaskin needs to start, you know, getting some more carries and running the football. In the meantime, the Washington Cougars go to take on Eastern Washington. With that should be a wild offensive game, because, you know, Eastern Washington is the FCC number one, FCS number one offense at 624 yards, and you know that Mike Leach is going to be passing the football.
Number four.
It's not like we had to go out and play 700 ball to wind up in the postseason. We just needed to do some of the things we were doing and hold serve, and we didn't do it, and that's on us. And we should be embarrassed by it, and I am.
Interesting that Jerry DeBoto goes on Danny, Dave, and Moore, and of course we are taking you around the diamond thanks to your friends and the chain company, your friends in the jewelry business. You know, you can see disappointed, embarrassed, all these different things, because everything was in their hands. 24 games above 500, 11.5 game lead over the Oakland A's, and now they're not even going to have meaningful games in the last couple weeks of the season because they're so far behind. You know, they're fighting to make sure they don't get mathematically eliminated, but at least they got a victory last night, 8-2 over the Los Angeles Angels. Good performance by Mike Leake. He gave up only one run, four hits in seven innings, and kind of a historic moment. Nelson Cruz hit his 36th home run of the year, and that was in the fourth inning. So he was talking about you know, how good the offense was and all that stuff, and he said they needed something like this. Well, they needed something like this a long time ago, and that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business.
Number five.
Third down and two. Here's a blitz. Pass is caught. Good catch. A.J. Green. Foot race. His second of the game. Touchdown, Bengals.
So last night, the Bengals, 2-0, defeated the Baltimore Ravens 34-23, dominated the first half, and so a victory, and of course a very bad game by Joe Flacco. And how about these numbers? Four sacks, 12 deflected passes, four tackles for loss, two interceptions and a fumble. I mean, Joe Flacco, who had a great start with that 47-3 victory, just was terrible last night. Tried to bring the team back. They got him within 11, but that wasn't close enough. A.J. Green was able to get three touchdown passes on five catches. That was good. In other National Football League news, as I mentioned earlier, Josh Sitton is going to be out for the year with a torn rotator cuff. A couple injuries from the game from the Bengals. Michael Johnson has a knee. He's going to miss some time. Don't know how long to start. Center Billy Price is going to be out, so he's got an ankle injury. Looks like the Carolina Panthers are going to be in bad shape. You know, they're already down to two starting tackles on injured reserve, and now Trey Turner's not going to be able to play today because of a concussion, so he's going to be out coming up in this game against Atlanta, a team that lost two of their best young defensive players to season-ending injuries, or at least injuries that are going to keep them on the IR. You know, Neal at safety, and then of course Deion Jones at middle linebacker. That was good. And of course, how about the Marcus Peters thing? You know, he had that grabbing of the crotch to kind of give that Marshawn Lynch celebration. Well, cost him $13,000. The official fine reported by the National Football League and reported by Ian Rappaport. Hey, you can check out the show on the 710 Sports app, given by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we are going to go under further review, kind of review the things that were said by Pete Carroll yesterday and what things need to be worked on in this game coming up against the Chicago Bears. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Under further review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
Under further review, we'll take a look and break down what's going to be needed coming up ahead for the Seahawks, because there were a lot of things that were right, more things that were wrong in a 27-24 victory or loss to the Denver Broncos. And so, you know, I guess the big thing, I guess, when you sum everything up is that you look at the big picture and you realize that there was going to be some issues in the standpoint that, you know, they had a lot of guys that were new to everything. I mean, six guys that had to play, rookies or first-year guys, involved in more than 25 plays. There was three on offense and three on defense. Then you had three guys that basically had less than 10 practices through the entire offseason, and that's Deion Jordan, who had 15 plays on the field, Earl Thomas, who came out and valiantly played 62, and then, you know, one more guy in the sense that J.R. Sweezy, who was fighting a high ankle injury that kept him out for some period of time. So they didn't have a lot of practice time, but now they've had more time to practice. They were on the practice field yesterday, out there today, and out there tomorrow. But, you know, I guess you can start with the offense, because at this moment, with so many changes on the defense, the offense has to carry a little bit of the defense, but it's not going to carry if they're not going to run the football. And that's what Pete Carroll talked about yesterday. What went wrong in the running game?
Yeah, we were 2-for-12 on third down. Yeah, we messed it up. We didn't give ourselves a chance to convert. And really, there was five, third and five or lesses that we needed to get every one of those, and we didn't. And so then we start all over again. It's first down again, and you get the whole rhythm of the game is much different. So it's interesting how it always kind of comes out to that third down conversion numbers will give you the indicator of how that went.
And that's what it comes down to, because that was one of the same problems last year. There was way too many third down and longs, third down and tens and all that, and you can't overcome that. And that's why the running of the football with Chris Carson, who we'll talk to on this show to kind of get his feel for the running game and what he wants to do in the next week. And, you know, the fact that, you know, they had the third downs and the problems, they only had 15 carries, 14 by running backs, and that's not good enough. They've got to be able to do that. And as Pete said, they were 2-for-12 on the third downs, and that's just something that they've got to do, and they've got to find better third downs, and they've got to convert those third and fives, or they've got to convert those third and shorts. And so all those things are in play, and that's something that has to work on. But again, it comes down to trying to focus, keep the philosophy going of running the football, because that is going to be one of the big things. So they've got to be able to work on that. And I would imagine that what you're going to see, more Chris Carson, a little less Rashad Penny. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, Penny got off to – it did get off to a slow start, but it was understandable figuring that, you know, after the first preseason game, he didn't get a chance to get back in because of the finger injury. And so he's not up to the speed of the game. That's why I wondered a couple weeks ago if that would have been the opportunity, at least in the first week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, to give C.J. Procise a little bit more of the backup role. You know, he's going to be the third down guy. I mean, now with some injuries at the wide receiver position, there's a chance that, you know, they may have to incorporate him a little bit into the passing game at the wide receiver, because he has a little bit of experience at that. I mean, Pete was asked about that yesterday, and he didn't say he wouldn't, but he wouldn't reveal any strategy about that. Nevertheless, I would imagine that you know, it's going to go the same rotation. You know, Penny, maybe a few less times out there. Carson, more times out there, because they need to get him 15, 16 carries and see how that goes. In the meantime, one of the things that's going to be an interesting thing for the defense is now going a different quarterback than Case Keenum. Case Keenum came out, was able to work the short passing game brilliantly, able to move the football and you know, hit the areas that maybe with confusion or just communication lapses that they really couldn't get done. Well, now they have to do it. Now it's a different offense, because Mark Helfrich comes in along with a good Matt Nagy head coach, and they run an up-tempo offense to try to wear down the defense, and that's something that you know, this team has to be aware of.
They've got the ability to do all that. You know, I mean, you can see it's all over the league. The teams are messing with tempo and all that. Nothing new for us, but it's you know, we know that their backgrounds, certainly with, you know, with Mark, you know, here in the college game and out of Oregon, and as well as, you know, Matt's a big time coordinator coming from Andy's system and all that. These guys, they got a lot of ideas and a lot of good ideas that make it hard.
And that's something they have to try to make sure that they don't overdo it. They've got to make sure that they don't have confusion, because, again, this is going to be a different type of offense. But also, it's a young quarterback. And, you know, if you're going to be a good defense, you have to hold down a young quarterback. And Mitch Trubisky got mixed reviews in his first game. You know, did very well in the first half. but struggled in the second half, still struggles with accuracy, and, you know, he can run, he can escape. If something goes wrong, you know, he can kind of fix it up, but he's a quarterback that, you know, you need to take advantage of because, again, until he starts to feel more comfortable, he's not the most accurate quarterback. He's a guy that does have good skills, but they can try to at least limit him and kind of hold down that tempo. That's why it's going to be so important for Bobby Wagner not to miss this game because, you know, he is going to be such a vital part of all of this. In the meantime, the big thing that this team has to do because they have so many young guys and then sort this all out, you know, are the rookies going to play? Now, you know, Will Disley's going to be out there because he did so well in the opener. I mean, there's now a little bit of question about Trey Flowers with that hamstring injury. He had 72 snaps and I thought did very well. Shaquem Griffin struggled and that brought Austin Calitro out there to kind of help him out a little bit. So the big thing that Pete Carroll talked about yesterday is what do they need to improve on with the rookies?
So it's the couple of different things. You got to decipher what the issues were and see if there was any commonality there, and then deal with them. You know, and so that's as we learn these guys, we learn how to effectively communicate with them and how to make sense to them and how to calm them down and how to be clear with our explanations and all. And so we're just going to address the issues as we go along. But all in all, what we would do is continue to try to help them simplify and slow down their thinking so that they can quiet their mind so that they can be a focused and attentive football player out there, and that way they'll give us closer to the best they have to offer.
And that's what has to be done. They have to settle these guys down and make sure they just don't make the same mistakes and they grow and they just try to get better. And, you know, Pete, I think you can see he enjoys this. I mean, he enjoys coaching these young guys, and particularly young guys in the secondary and young guys on defense, to get the best out of them. And I think that's going to be, you know, one of the big challenges. And so the coaching has to go over there while this team literally is just playing catch up. I mean, they're playing catch up right now because, you know, they have so many different issues that they've got to take care of. You know, they've got to get better on defense. And again, the one thing that's going to be a killer, the two things that will pull this team down, as I've said so often, they're going to give up 27 points a game. Oh, and they're not going to run the football. That's a 6-win team. I mean, go back and look at that's what happened with Atlanta for a couple years. I mean, 4-12, 6-10. Same thing with the New Orleans Saints. And so what you don't want to do is repeat that. But this team, I think, is talented enough that they're not going to give up the 27 points a game. Again, I put the model at 23. If they can do that, then they should be in pretty good shape. And again, but they have to start doing it. And then finally, they got to get a pass rush. Wasn't there. I mean, one sack and, you know, very few pressures. That's something Pete really wants to see coming up on Sunday.
We got stuck on the line of scrimmage on the play passes. It was really the part that I was really disappointed in, that we didn't respond better to get into our pass rush mode. That's the that just happened. And so that's one phase of it. And we would like to have got off on the edge a little bit better than we did. So it was just stuff that we just got to, you know, keep working on.
And that's something that they have to work on. And, of course, that last Sunday, it just did not work. This Monday, they need to make this work and get the pass rush going. You know, they need Frank Clark to get in there and get a couple sacks. You know, they need to make sure that they get the pressures coming from maybe a little bit of the blitz and all that stuff. Very, very important at this stage to be able to, you know, get that defense going with some pressure. Because if you don't have that, then all of a sudden, they're going to have too much time, the Bears, to be able to pick apart and do things on this defense that you don't like. But that's, again, what we try to review right now, the things that need to be worked on coming up for this game when they play the Chicago Bears Monday night. You can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Well, coming up next, we want to get your reaction. What phase of the ball needs to be fixed more? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Which one? Special teams? Which one do you want to go for? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Chime in. We want to hear what your thoughts are because, again, big game, even though, again, it's the Chicago Bears, not a great team from last year, but a team that's much improved. Are you concerned about the offensive line and the blocking? But what area, offense or defense, do you think needs to improve the most for this game? Give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Want to get your reaction. What area do you think needs to improve the most from week one to week two? Is it the offense or is it the defense? Let's start with Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
I would definitely say the defense. Like you mentioned before, the lack of pass rush. The linebackers missed a bunch of tackles. They didn't always set the edge. They got outside a bit. And, of course, the pass defense. They gave them a lot of yardage. And the inexperience back in the on the defensive backs really showed the fact that they hadn't played together for very long. They didn't know who to cover, what tendencies to pick up. And on the offense, I know we're looking for one or the other. It's very easy to fix that. Number one, get the big guy back. And I'm talking about Bigfoot at guard. Get him back. And, of course, we got a guy that can pass protect, George Fant. I know you were talking earlier, a couple weeks ago, about him switching over to the right side. But that's what basketball players do. They go to the left. They go to the right. They can cover the key. I had no problem with him switching over to the right side. And that guy, he can shadow his man. When we're talking basketball, he can get in front of his guy without ending up on the turf or diving at the guy's feet and the defensive man throwing Earl on his, I mean, not Earl, but Russell on his ear, you know. But I see good things going to happen in Chicago. I'm confident. I think they can handle these guys. Plus, they have a one-game experience. But the defense, they're the ones that really needs to come together.
Yeah. Well, see, I agree with that 100%, Rick, because the idea is that, again, it's not going to be perfect. I mean, you can't go from 8 Pro Bowl guys on defense to 2 or 3, depending on who's healthy and who's in and who's out. And so you can't make that dramatic move and think everything's going to work out that quickly.
Right.
And so you need time.
It's a team-building thing. You know, it's like a marriage. You know, you're not going to start off everything. You got to figure things out. And with these guys, move. When someone else fills up, you know, somebody else has got to fall in and take the deep guy's place and, you know, the responsibility. And like you were saying, playing together as a team, that's the big thing. We had a group of individuals before, everybody doing their own thing, and they didn't start off that way. But when they got a little cocky, had a little success, they got more important. They seemed to think they were more important than they actually were. But the most important thing is to get these guys to play together as a team.
Mm-hmm. No, Rick, good call. Thank you for that. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call and tell us what you think as far as which unit needs to be better. Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Which one? Because certainly something needs to get done and get to be better, because in the end, what you're looking at is a, you know, a team that relies so much on its quarterback, and it can't keep everything on the quarterback. It's got to have help from other areas, and it's got to have help to be able to try to make sure that it can get things right. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN.
I would tend to agree with Rick there. I was thinking that I'm more worried about the offense just simply because I think the Bears have a better defense, and so it's going to be a lot for them to handle. But I don't know, we were talking this morning about how you already see how tough it was to have KJ Wright out, and the possibility that Bobby Wagner, even if he doesn't miss the game, is not playing at 100% because of this groin injury. It's it's starting to look a little rough out there on defense.
Yeah, it is. And I think it was going to, it was predictably rough because, I mean, look at all the elements. I mean, you know, you go from literally you're down 2.5 of your best pass rushers. Because I say half because you only got 15 plays out of Deion Jordan, which was expected because he didn't have any training camp. Hey, it was positive that he was able to go out there and play. That was one of the encouraging things, but you knew it was going to take a little bit of time for that whole unit to try to get back together because, again, it's out there. So the pass rush, then you have all the new guys in the secondary. That was good to be able to kind of wait and see how that was going to go. So, you know, all these things have to kind of go in there. You know, I would say right now, the biggest strategic improvement has to come from the offense. And where I say that is, it's got to be able to do what it's been built to want to do, which is run the football. Make it easier for Russell Wilson by running the football. And you try to get some consistent drives going. Keep the defense off the field. Those are some of the vital things that I think are going to be mandatory if this team has any chance of being able to, you know, get 8 wins or more wins. And it does. It has the chance because it's got the talent, but also it now needs that execution to be able to get things right. So,
all right, John, we have Sherman from Silverdale that wants to talk to you about that.
Okay, Sherman. Yes.
How are you?
Yes, Sherman.
Yes, my two areas of concern for the Hawks moving forward for this year are the third and long, the defense, some way and another, they got to find a way to get off the field. If they don't, they will not have the success that they need right now as a unit that's trying to gel, trying to figure pieces out on both the front end and the back end. Secondly, you bring in Seabass, and he misses two field goals in Denver in an area that, you know, is supposed to be kicker-friendly. So unless those areas get addressed, we're going to fall back into the same questions or emphasis of questions that happened last year. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think you raised some good points. In fact, I'm glad you brought up the third and longs, because that's been an area all through the preseason that's been an issue. And I think what happens is, you know, teams now try to go in and they try to take advantage of the, you know, the fact that you have some holes. Because, again, it's cover one, cover three, and some of these holes in the middle between the numbers that you can take advantage of. And I think teams are trying their best to take advantage of it. And so they've got to find a way to stop that, to be able to, you know, get the right plays that can kind of do it. And just, I mean, communication. Communication has to be, because, again, here's Earl Thomas. I mean, he's just getting to know some of the new guys out there, getting to know Trey Flowers. You know, he already knows Bradley McDougal. That's fine. But, you know, now it's just trying to get that communication better, because if they communicate better, they'll play better. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call. Which unit needs to improve the most coming up this week? Is it the offense? Or is it the defense?
John, we have Mike from Everett next.
Yes, Mike. Mike, you're up.
A couple minutes ago, I think that the best defense is a good offense, and a good ball control offense in this case, because keeping the inexperienced defense off the field, I think, should be one of the goals. And time of possession last week was about a 10-minute differential. So that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where, I mean, because when you think of, they only had like about 51 plays or a little over 50 plays, and that's just not good enough. I mean, they need.
Well, when is Pete Carroll really going to do what he says he's going to do and commit to the, I mean, these people are going to have to learn how to run, and if that means an ugly game where you keep slamming it at them, I think they're going to have to, you know, have more learning, make instead of abandoning the run right away.
Oh, I agree. I mean, that's what I think surprised me more than anything else, just the fact that they just didn't have many running attempts. I mean, seven for each of the top two backs. Penny had seven, Carson had seven, and they certainly need to get more than that. I mean, that's, I think, going to be essential. And I think that, you know, the word probably came down from Pete. It's like, Brian Schottenheimer, let's get more running plays in there. And that's what the plan was. I mean, that was what the big thing that Brian was able to do. Now, again, if you're going to be third and eight, third and nine, you're not going to be able to do that. And so, you know, I just thought that they, you know, coming in and trying to throw it as much as they did was just a little bit too much. I think that's going to be fixed. But yeah, I think the offense right now is the one that has to kind of make it easier for the defense. Thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Your thoughts, which unit needs to get better on this game coming up Monday to get things right and get this team to 500? Oh, okay, and we got enough calls, so we're going to take them in the next segment. So here, so we'll do that. Let's carry it over. So load up those phone lines, and we go behind the lines, but we're going to stay on the phone lines, and you can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. And so that's going to be one. And don't forget, Mariners take on the Angels tonight at 7 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Coming up next, we're going to continue with your phone calls. Which unit needs to get better? Offense, defense, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
So good responses on the phones, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's find out which unit needs to get better coming up this weekend. Is it going to be, of course, Monday, I guess you could say, is extended weekend. Maura, what do we have? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN.
We have Grant in Seattle right now.
Yes, Grant.
Oh, hey, John. I was just wondering why we don't throw, like, quick passes like Brady or Payton do to negate the pass rush. And it's offense that needs to improve.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, and I agree with you. I think the offense is the one that needs to do the most to try to get better. But, I mean, they do that. But whatever it was, it just seemed like they wanted to go for the big pass. They wanted to go for the deeper pass. And, again, it worked. They got 24 points. That's not bad. But it also, it just did not give them the opportunity to move the chains. And I think that you'll see a different offense this week. I think that you'll probably see just what you're talking about. There's going to be more of an emphasis to run the football. I think there's going to be more of an emphasis to try to do some more things with the, with a little bit more of the quick passing game. You know, because, you know, of course, the one thing that's going to be different is not having Doug Baldwin out there because he's so dependable on those plays that you really want him to make the catches and all that stuff. So, it's going to be a little bit different. You got a different set because I would imagine they're going to start Tyler Lockett and Brandon Marshall. I mean, we'll see if they put Jerron Brown in there. But, no, I think the quick passes is something that they're probably going to have no choice but to do along with running the football.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN.
Ben in Renton is next, Professor.
Yes, Ben.
Hello, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Very good, very good. How is your wife?
Better. I mean, she had a tough week last week, but much better this week.
Great. Thank God. I think they should be able to use Brandon Marshall more than they are thinking. Everything you hear people talking about is his age. The age doesn't matter. He's playing very good. Now, it can be probably even a better threat than Jimmy Graham in the red zone because he's a wide receiver with that size of body.
Mm-hmm. And I think you saw that they got, three passes to Brandon, and, Brown's also a big, tall target who's fast. But, no, I think that, Marshall now becomes a bigger part of the offense, and you know how much he believes in Russell Wilson. He had a press conference yesterday and said that, and, he still looks to be a good wide receiver. I mean, and, of course, he's going to be extra motivated because this is Chicago. He played in Chicago, and, he likes it out here, and I think Russell definitely wants to get him the ball.
They can also use Chris Carson and maybe mixing Mike Davis a little bit until Penny gets his roughness gone.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to have a problem adjusting to the speed of the game, and sure enough, I think he did. Now, it's not to say that he's not going to do well. I think that he's very talented. He's good. I think that he's a first-round talent, but I think that maybe ease him in a little bit more. But again, Chris Carson's the one who's got to get the majority of the carries.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, Ben. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Taking your phone calls here. Your thoughts. Which unit needs to get better, offense or defense? Mara?
Next up, we have Bob in Mount Vernon.
Yes, Bob.
Good morning, Professor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. My main concern is right tackle who's a half step or a full step behind the left defensive end. That's preventing running or backing up the running and making Russell scramble so much. Is there a possibility that Fant can move in front of Ifedi since he's having so many problems?
Yes.
Even though he went against a very good defensive ends and both of them in Denver.
No, I think that there is a chance, and I think that Ifedi understands that because he watched the game against, down in L.A., where all of a sudden here comes Fant over there, and he does a good job. I mean, because he was able to use his basketball skills and all that stuff. And you notice he's played a little bit better since then because he realizes they did not have anybody that could challenge him before. Now Fant can challenge him.
Right, but when I watched the game last week, I was really watching hard. I was watching specifically Ifedi, and like I said, he was going against, all pro defensive ends, but that half step is killing the right side of the line. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so concerned about the offense, because Russell, the teams are, they've gotten used to his Fran Tarkenton style circle out, and that's how they got him last week. And I know they're trying to keep him in the pocket, but I'm just really worried about Ifedi causing major problems.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that has to be a concern. Now, again, he probably takes a little bit more criticism than he deserves, but he deserves criticism because that is one of the voids on this team right now, is what the consistent right tackle play. And, you know, he needs to play better, and I think he understands that. And Fant is an option if he does struggle. I mean, Fant came at that, again, one game, he just, and I was amazed because a guy that never played right tackle before was able to come in and look pretty consistent and be able to do some good things. So, no, I think that that is an option. But right now, I think the better option for this team is for Effetti to have a good game, have Will Disley or Nick Vinette at his side trying to help out because they've got two pass rushers they've got to worry about. But, no, good call. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. The thoughts on which unit needs to get better. Is it the offense or is it the defense?
We have Mark in Port Orchard next.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, John. Hope your wife's doing well.
Well, thank you. Yes, you there?
John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just hope Pat's doing well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're a good husband. I'm calling about defense, and I didn't hear your full spiel on the finding of Kendricks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more of a Band-Aid signing, or do they see him? I looked him up, and he had like 60, 70 tackles last year.
Right. No, I think it's a bargain signing.
What's
your
overall opinion on him? And, you know, I guess from a character standpoint, too. Yeah, the insider trading, but overall, from what you know?
Yeah, no, I think it was a very smart signing and a good signing. And the reason I say that is because, you know, what you're getting is the chance for somebody to come in there as a bargain basement type guy with starting experience. And so probably didn't have a lot of teams after him. And so he was willing to come here. And again, he's a good player. And again, we'll find out how the legal aspects of it are. I mean, he's pleaded guilty. His next hearing is going to be January 24th. So at least you know, unless the league comes in, which they could, and rule something, that you have him for the season. And, you know, to get a guy that, you know, that talented, you know, at a bargain price, I think is a very good thing. So, no, I like that signing a lot.
Do you see him more as an outside right or outside left?
I think right now, well, I think it's going to be more the weak side than it is anything else, but I think he's versatile to do anything. I mean, I like what I see from Barkevious Mingo because I like that big 6'4", 6'5" frame and his speed and, you know, his quickness and that. I like him, and he's also very good on special teams, but it just gives you a little bit more because, again, when you've lost as many experienced guys as this team has on defense, now you get an experienced guy who gives you better depth because I always thought, I mean, when you looked at the way the offseason was going and the way training camp was going, the two areas that needed more guys was the pass rush and linebacker. And so now they get a linebacker. I like it.
Well, thank you, Professor. We're lucky to have you.
Hey, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Which unit needs to get better, offense or defense? Give us a call. Give us your thoughts. Which one still in this game coming up against the Chicago Bears needs to take a little bit of a jump?
Next up is Mike in Orlando.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John. Hey, I'm a longtime listener, longtime fan of John Clayton. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, John, I want to say offense, but in reality, the reason I say offense is because of the defense. Let me explain. The offense has to stay on the field so we can keep the defense off the field. The offense has to be able to sustain drives to give the defense some kind of a reprieve. And I am particularly a little frustrated with our offensive line, as many are, and in fact with Effetti. Why are we so patient with Effetti when in fact we should just waive him?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you waive him and what he's got guarantees in his contract, then you know, then where are you going to find another tackle?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing I think people are thinking of, not thinking about, because I know I was spending a bunch of time here researching, you know, the backup tackle situation. It's as bad as I've seen league-wide. I mean, nobody has that extra tackle. I mean, take a look at what, you know, the Carolina Panthers, they've lost both their starting tackles. Matt Khalil's on injured reserve. Darrell Williams is on injured reserve. I mean, they just took Chris Clark and brought him off the street to be able to, and they're going to start him at left tackle. That's how bad it is. And so it's like, you get rid of him, but who's going to come in and replace him?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's what's so frustrating, because we can't sustain a drive. We can't run the ball. Russell Wilson, try as he might, He just can't, he cannot continue to take the hits that he's taken. And it's so frustrating. And so what happens, we go three and out, we bring back our defense, which is, you know, has some holes in it anyway. And so the defense has to play more than it should.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you raise a good point, and thank you for the phone call. It's one where it looks like I think the majority of the people will agree with me. It's more offense than it is anything else. All right, so coming up next, and of course, thank you for the phone calls. You can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Accurate Ears. Coming up next, want to try to get together with Chris Carson and get his thoughts on where he is in his career, what he's needing to do to try to get the bump in that running game, and just a lot of different things about Chris Carson you probably didn't know. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.